Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith. And we're seeing men and women who trusted God, who took God at His Word, who lived by faith and lived by the Word of God. Now, our goal in this study really is exactly the same thing, to be men and women of faith who live by the Word of God, and that when we stand before our Savior, we'll hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We're near the end of the study. We've been going verse by verse, passage by passage, all the way through Hebrews chapter 11, and we've been seeing the great acts of faith. We've seen Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Rahab and Gideon. And then last time, we looked at Daniel, and that Daniel, by faith, shut the mouth of the lions. Well, this morning it's another famous passage, and it's really a great story of the Bible. We call it three Hebrew boys. We're not sure how old they were. They may have been as young as 14. They could have been as old as 25, but they're three Hebrew young men. We call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's actually their Babylonian names. They trusted God, and they lived by faith. They did what was right and left the results to God. Our goal, of course, is to be men and women who trust you, trust God, and live for Him. Well, let's think about something for a minute. You know, our world has changed so much in the last 20 to 25 years. And with the rise of Islamic terrorism, people are dying all over the world. Christians are being persecuted and killed. We all know that standing for Jesus Christ in a fallen world can cost us our lives. Sometimes we think, well, it's over there, but it's not over here, but it is everywhere. And when we think about our country, we realize how it's changed so much. The values and the things that we believe and the things we seek to live by have all been turned upside down. To believe in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation and to live by the Word of God is often ridiculed. And there's a great truth that things are not going to get better. They're actually going to get worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." We're in the last days. The last days started any time after Jesus' death and resurrection. Writer Hebrews tells us that in these last days, God has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. So we've been in the last days for a while, but it's getting closer and closer. The truth is, to stand for Jesus Christ, to do what is right, has always been dangerous. In the first century, in the spread of the message of Jesus Christ, it brought many people persecution and death. Think about this. After Jesus died and rose again, that was about the 33 AD, around 45, great persecution broke out. Around 60 to 67 AD, persecution broke out. That's when Peter and Paul were both killed. 70 AD, Jerusalem was leveled to the ground. 72 was a thing called Masada, where a whole bunch of Jewish people up on Sada Mountain were killed. 100 to 105 AD, persecution again. And it happened all the way to the 300s. As we look this morning, we're going to go back in history. We're going to see a time that the nation of Israel was in captivity in Babylon. Around the year 605 BC, there were three captivities. The new Jewish people were taken off 605, 598, and 585. We're going to see a group of guys were taken off in the year 605 BC. In other words, 600 years before Jesus came to the world. What happened? What happened to the nation of Israel? They had been turning away from God, and God allowed an enemy to capture them, the Babylonians. And we see in this passage three men, three young guys. And as I said earlier, they could be as young as 14 years old. They could be as old as 25. They stand for what is right. Now, let me tell you, every one of you, every day, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged to live by what is right. And the culture that we live in is moving more and more away from what we believe is right in the Scripture. And so every day, you're going to be challenged. Are you going along with this world? Are you going to go along with the crowd? Are you going to stand for what is right? And we're going to see that these guys made a decision that they were going to do with what is right, and whatever the consequences were, they would leave it at that. Hebrews 11, look at verse 34. At the very beginning of the verse, it says, "Quenched the power of fire." That's our focus this morning. We're going to see that these young guys quenched the power of fire. Three young, and everybody always calls them the three Hebrew boys, and we're going to see what happened. Now, let me remind you of what's going on. The nation of Israel, after David was the king, it was the greatest empire just about ever. When David died, his son Solomon became the king. After Solomon became the king, I mean, he was the richest king that's ever lived. He was the wisest king that's ever lived. He was the most powerful king that's ever lived. But toward the end of his life, he turned away from God. And when he died, there was a division and the kingdom divided. And there was a northern empire and a southern empire. And both empires eventually begin to turn away from God. And what we find happened in history, I don't know where that came from. Let's see. There we go. I don't know where those others got in there, but we like them anyway. Anyway, in 722 BC, the Assyrians came in and took the Northern Empire. And that was the Northern Empire, and they were taken off, and they were taken off for a while. And then about 100 years later, a little more than 100 years later, the Babylonians came in and took away the Southern Empire. And that was when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all taken away. And they were taken in the Babylonian Empire, and an amazing thing happened. They were so wise and so smart, and that God had given them great abilities, that they were raised up in leadership positions in the Babylonian Empire. Daniel could interpret dreams, and Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king, used Daniel. And these three young guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were put in positions of leadership. Now, let me tell you something that happened. One night, the king couldn't sleep, and he was tossing and turning, and suddenly he had this dream, and he saw this big old statue. And it had a head of gold, and it had arms and chest of silver, and it had a stomach of bronze, and it had legs of iron and feet of iron and clay and all this. And he had this dream, and a big rock hit it and tore it all to pieces. And he woke up, and he called his wise men in, and nobody could tell us he was going to put them all to death. And Daniel said, wait a minute, I can tell you the dream. And he came and told about that there were these empires that were coming. And the first empire was the head of gold, and that was Nebuchadnezzar himself. He said, you're the head of gold. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, that's pretty good being the head of gold. So what he decided to do was build a statue that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And it was supposed to represent him. And it was made out of gold. And he put it out in this plain called the Plain of Dura. And he put it out there and he made it stick way up in the air. Think about it, 9 stories high. And he said, what I'm going to do is bring all my leaders together and they're going to worship my statue. That's what they're going to do. That was his plan. And so we're going to see what happens. Hold in your place there in Hebrews 11 and turn to Daniel chapter 3. Okay? Daniel chapter 3. If you get in there to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Lamentations and all of that, right after Ezekiel is the book of Daniel and Daniel chapter 3. Now, for most of you, you know this story. But sometimes when you hear a Bible story that you've seen when you were younger, there are a lot of things in there that you might have missed. And there are a lot of things that are important that you might miss. So let's see what happens. This is Daniel chapter 3, and this is Nebuchadnezzar. And he decides, since he's the head of gold, he's going to make a big old statue. Look at Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. The height of it was 60 cubits, that's 90 feet. And his width of it was 6 cubits, that's 9 feet. And he set it on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, in modern day, that's modern day Iraq, and Babylon is still there. It's not much of a city anymore, and there is a plain out there that they see even today that is a wide place that looks like that had been made with stones. Many people believe that that's where the statue was placed up, south of Baghdad. And so he puts this big statue up. And he covered it completely with gold. They've estimated that if something was that tall and that wide, covered over with gold, it would be worth billions of dollars. So here's what he decides to do. Verse 2. Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, and the magistrates, and all rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now he calls for all of his leaders. That means Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and everybody's coming to this thing. Now, before we go any further, Daniel is never mentioned in the story. And so we're not even sure if Daniel is there. It could be that Daniel was somewhere else, or it could be that Daniel was so important that he wasn't accused. But we'll see what happens as we go through this. So everybody is there. Look at verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, to you it is commanded, is given, O people, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you're to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. So here he says this, when you hear the music, everybody falls down and worships the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you're Jewish, If you believe in the true God, you're not going to worship, or you're not supposed to worship an idol. I mean, if you go all the way back to Exodus and go through all of the Torah, the law, Jewish people, if you said to Jewish people, do you worship any false gods? And they said, oh, no, you can't worship a false god. There's only one God, there's only one true God. We'd say the same thing. Is there anything other than the true God? The answer is no. We would not worship anything other than Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, see my statue? I want everyone, when you hear the music, everybody bows down. That's the plan. But he wanted to make sure they understood that if you don't worship, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Notice verse 6. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Now, apparently, the best that we understand, he had this kind of furnace thing, which was tall, had a opening in the top, had a fire in the bottom, and had a way you could see in the bottom. And what they would do if they wanted to, they would throw people in the top, and they would burn up and just be burned to pieces. And you could look in there and see people burning up, if that's what you wanted to do. So Nebuchadnezzar says, here's what I'm going to do. I got my statue there. I got my band is ready to play. When you hear the music, I want everyone to bow down. Everyone to bow down. False worship. An idol is false worship. Anything before God is an idol. Satan has always desired to be worshipped. If you think about it, you go back to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you see where Satan, as an angel, wanted to be like God. In fact, he wanted to be God. He said, I will be the Most High. I will be like the Most High. Satan wanted to be worshipped, and he's always got his counterfeits. Have you ever thought about this? Satan has a counterfeit. He has a counterfeit gospel. You know what the gospel is of Satan? It's do good. Listen, the Bible says that salvation is a gift by faith alone in Christ alone, that Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. If you believe in him, you'll have eternal life. Faith alone, Christ alone. That's the message of the Bible. That's not the message of Satan. He has a false message. It is this: do good and God will love you. You can't do good, God already loves you. Listen, the message of the world, every religion, all you have to do is look at the world religions. Every religion is man doing something to get to God. It's a false gospel. If we go downtown Stillwater and talk to people, stop them on the street and say, what do you think a person has to do to go to heaven? Many people will say, well, you try to live a good life, get baptized, go to church, try to live the best you can, keep the Ten Commandments, do this. It's all works, because that's the false message that they've heard. He has false ministers. 2 Corinthians 11 says they come as angels of light with a false righteousness. Listen, just because somebody uses the name Jesus doesn't mean they believe what we believe. So be careful when you turn on the TV or radio or a book or something and somebody says that they believe about Jesus or something. Just because they say that doesn't mean that they believe what we believe or believe the Bible. There are a lot of people out there who use the name of Jesus and they don't have a clue. And they're false. And then there's a false doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:1 talks about that there is a doctrine of demons, meaning it is a message that is contrary to the Bible. And it's everywhere. So here's the plan. He's going to blow all of those bagpipes and flute and lyre and all kind of music. And everybody, all of them lined up. This picture, all of you standing in this room. Picture you being the leaders of the Babylonian Empire. And this is not all the people in the Babylonian Empire. This is just the leaders. And you're all standing up. And I'm Nebuchadnezzar. And I say, when you hear the music, everybody bows down to my statue. What are you going to do when the music plays? What are you going to do? If you were there and you were Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego, what would you do? Well, the music played. And they didn't bow down. Now picture this, all of us in this room, and everybody bowing down but three people. Can you see the three people? I'm just standing, right? Everybody else has bowed down. Did they stand out? I think they did. And some other officials saw them standing, and they said, who do those people think they are? They didn't bow down. They're supposed to bow down. Because see, what happens if you don't bow down? You get thrown where? The fiery furnace. So look what happened, verse 8. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and they brought charges against the Jews. Now the Chaldeans are the citizens of Babylon. And so they didn't like these Jews, and they brought charges against them, and they responded to King Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everybody who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, all kinds of music, you're to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship will be cast in the midst of a fiery furnace. They said, isn't that right? Well, there are certain Jews whom you've appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely, and the names are names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That name means the servant of Nego. Nego was one of their gods. When they took these boys, these Hebrew boys, that wasn't their real names. They were Ashiel, Mishael, and Hazariah. That's their real names. That was their Jewish names. These are Hebrew names. Babylonian names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego means the servant of Nego, which is one of their gods. That's what he was named after. He says, these men have disregarded you. They've not worshipped your gods or worshipped the golden image which you have set up. They came and said, see those three guys right there? See those three guys standing right there? They have refused to bow down. That's what's supposed to happen. Here's what they said. They said, they've disregarded you. That wasn't true. They served King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, you've not served your gods. That is true. They said, they've not worshipped the image. That is true. Now, let me ask you something. If you're Nebuchadnezzar and you built a statue, and you think you're the head of gold, and this statue represents you, and you want all of your leaders to bow down, and three of those leaders do not bow down, how do you feel about those three leaders? You say, I'm going to kill every one of them. But bring them up here. Bring them up here. I'm going to give them one more chance. I'm going to give them a chance. And so in verse 14, he asks, is this true? Look at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? He says, this is true. They've told me you didn't bow down. Is this true? He knew. He says, let's do this. I'm going to give you a second chance. Everybody deserves what? A second chance. I'm going to give you a second chance. Verse 15. Now, if you're ready at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image that I've made. Very well. I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to play the music again. Okay, get ready. We're going to play the music again. This is your shot to bow down this time. I'm going to give you another chance. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Now, what he's really saying is, listen, I'm God. No God can mess with me. Look at my statue. And I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you a chance to bow down. So when you hear the music, you bow down. If you don't bow down, I'm throwing you into the fire. And what God can protect you from me? Nobody. What are they going to do? What would you do? Let me ask you this question. And I hope nothing ever like this ever happens, but what if somebody came in and put a gun to your head and said, you either say you don't believe in Jesus as your Savior. If you say you don't believe in him, we'll spare your life. If you say you do believe in him, I'll kill you right now. What would you do? I mean, we all say, oh, well, I hope if it ever happened. I hope if it ever happened, I would say, well, you're just going to have to kill me because I'm not saying that I don't believe in Jesus as my Savior because he's my Savior. But none of us know what would happen if you were put in that situation. So now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are put in that situation. It's not a gun to their head. It's a fiery furnace. And if you bow down, you get to live. You don't bow down, we're throwing you in the fiery furnace. It's a test. Do they obey the word and not worship an idol and die? Or do they obey Nebuchadnezzar and live? What would you do? Think about this. Compromise. It's so easy to compromise. I mean, think about some things. We could say this. We could say, well, listen, I could bow down, but I'm not really worshiping. I could pretend. I could just bow down, but see, deep down, I'm not worshiping. But their testimony would be gone. Well, what if you just said, okay, look, I'm supposed to obey the government. Yeah, you obey the government, but we're to obey the Bible if the government's contrary to the Bible. Well, what if you could say, well, no, nobody will really know for sure that I did this. God knows, and others would know. Well, what if I just said, listen, I can stay alive, and if I stay alive, I have opportunities to witness to people. So even if I bow down, at least I don't get killed, and I can tell other people. Well, but who's going to listen? It's so easy to compromise. When the pressure is on, it is easy to compromise what we believe. And that's why you have to make a decision now on how you're going to live, what you're going to stand for, and what you're going to do, because you can't wait to the heat of the moment. You can't wait to the time that it comes. You have to already have decided what you're going to do, how you're going to live, and how you're going to stand. You can't wait. Watch this. They're going to make three statements. And look what these guys say. Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Here's their first statement. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. What that means is this. We don't have to think about this. We already decided. You don't have to give us a second chance. We don't have to go meet in the corner over there and go, listen, what do you think we ought to do? You think we ought to bow down this time or not? What do you think? I don't know. He said, we don't need to get over there and talk about it. We've already decided. We don't have to think about this. And that's why you decide now how you're going to live and what you're going to do. You can't wait till some certain situations to try to make a decision. You make a decision now on how you're going to live and what you're going to do. Here's the second statement. It's found in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But even if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods. The second thing is this. Maybe God will deliver us and maybe not. They didn't have anything saying that God was going to deliver them. God didn't send a message to them and say, go ahead and not bow down, because when you get thrown in the fiery furnace, you'll be okay. They have no idea what's going to happen. All they said was, listen, whether God delivers us or not, we're not bowing down. We don't know. Maybe God will deliver us, maybe he won't. But the third point is, even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship or serve your God. Listen, they already decided. We don't have to ask. We don't have to go over and have a council about this. We already know. We know God can deliver us if he chooses to, but whether he will or not, we don't know what he's going to do. But regardless of what God does, we will not bow down. They were willing to trust God regardless. What would you do? We must trust God and leave the consequences to him. We must obey God regardless of the consequences. We just never know what's going to happen. Whether it's going to turn out good or turn out bad, but we got to trust God because he's the one that allowed us to be in that situation, and we know how we're supposed to stand and how we're supposed to live. Well, look at the king. Look at verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. He said, really, pump that thing up. Let's get that thing as hot as we can get it. His face was changed. He was mad. He looked at them with anger. And look what he did. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them in the furnace. And these men were tied up in their trousers and their coats and their caps and other clothing. What I read from history is that normally when they threw somebody in the fiery furnace, they threw them in there without any clothes on. But they're in such a hurry to kill these three, they say, just wrap them up in whatever they got on, tie them up, and throw them in there. That's what we're going to do. We're going to kill them. Look what happens. Verse 22, for this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flames of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, the fire was so hot that the guys, the soldiers that were carrying them up to throw them in, they died as they threw them into the fire. Verse Verse 23, but these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Now, what's God going to do? Let me tell you something. They refused to obey something that was contrary to the Bible, regardless of whether God would spare them or not. In the same way, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, he had no idea whether the lions were going to eat him up or not. But he wasn't going to stop worshiping God. And sometimes when we stand for what is right, we do not know the outcome. It may not turn out like we think it should, but we have to trust God. Well, watch what happens. Most of you know the story. God delivers. Verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded. He stood up and he in haste and he said, wait a minute. Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? And they replied to the king, yes. See, Nebuchadnezzar went over there and he looked in there and he went, wait a minute. I see them in there. See, there were three men had been cast in the fire bound. But look what he says in verse 25. He said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth one is like a son of the gods. What did he see? Look what he saw. First of all, he saw four instead of three. They threw three people in there. He looks in there. He sees four. He said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three guys in there? Yeah, I see four guys. And look what it is. They were loosed instead of bound. Remember, they had been bound. Now they're walking around. In fact, they're loosed and they're walking around instead of laying on the ground. It's being burned up. And there's no harm instead of being burned. And here's this. One is like a son of the gods. See, that's what he actually says in Hebrew. He says, one looks like a son of the gods. He says, that fourth one with them looks unique. Now, who was the fourth one? Nobody knows because the Bible doesn't really tell us. It could have been an angel that God sent in the same way that an angel came and stopped the mouth of the lions with the life of Daniel. Or it could even be the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Nobody knows for sure who it was. God is a God of miracles. Look at verse 26. Nebuchadnezzar came to the door of the furnace of the blazing fire, and he responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. Now watch what he says. You servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. He calls them servants of the Most High God. And let me say this. When he said that, that didn't mean he now believes in the God of Israel. It didn't mean that. He means that out of all the gods I've seen lately, your God is really way up there because he's protected you. Because we're going to see all the way in chapter 4 that Nebuchadnezzar actually still thinks he's the most powerful person in all of the world and that he's a God himself. So I don't think in chapter 3 Nebuchadnezzar believes in the God of Israel, but I think he believes that the God of Israel is powerful. God is a God who delivers. Think about our God. He has delivered us. How has he delivered you? You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were destined to be separated from God forever. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross to pay for your sins and my sins. He rose from the grave to conquer death, and he gives to us the gift of eternal life. He delivers us from sin and death simply by faith in Christ. That's the way it is. He is the deliverer. All of us in this room, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, he has delivered you from sin and death. He has paid the price and conquered death. Well, look what happened. Verse 27. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, the king's high officials gathered around, and they saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on their bodies of these men, nor was their hair of their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Listen, the fire had no effect on them. Look at it. Their hair was not singed, their clothes were not damaged, and there was no smell of fire. It's as if they did not go into the fiery furnace. By faith, quenched the power of the fire. All our events are in his hands. We have to trust Him no matter what comes our way. There are going to be things in our lives that we're going to say, I hate this. Why do I have to go through this? Why do my friend have to go through this? Why is this happening in my family? Why is this happening to my friends? Why is this going on in my life? There are going to be things happen, and you're going to have to trust Him regardless of what's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to turn out. There are a lot of things that are going to turn out, and we're going to go, God did a miracle. Wow. There are going to be sometimes that it doesn't turn out the way we want it to turn out. But you have to trust Him no matter what. That's the only way. It's the only way. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own. Who do you worship? What do you put first in your life? Is it your relationship with Jesus Christ? As those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Or does everything else in this world get in the way? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, it doesn't matter what happens to us. God is first in our lives, and that's who we're trusting. Let's think about they praised the God of Israel. Let's think about some applications. We're going to have to trust God in the circumstances of life. There is no situation that's too big for God. Regardless of what comes in your life, you're going to have to trust Him. Think about this. We have to trust Him when we don't know how things are going to turn out, because He's in control, and we just have to rest in Him. We don't know. We have to leave the results to God. We just don't know what's going to happen. But here's a great truth, and that is this, that He is always with us. Hebrews 13:14, He'll never leave us or forsake us. What should we fear? It doesn't matter. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always with us, even when it's terrible. And here's a great truth. There'll never be more than you can handle, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He'll make a way for us when the trials, the problems, the issues, the temptations, everything comes. We can trust Him. Now, here's a charge. Don't compromise your life or your lifestyle. It's going to be easy to do it. They're pushing you all the time. You live in a fallen world. You go into that campus. You go into the workplace. You go places. And everybody in this culture, as a whole, is contrary to what you believe. And you're going to have to stand for what is right. You're going to have to stand. You can't compromise your lifestyle. You can't compromise your life. You've got to live on a different plane. You've got to live for Jesus Christ. It is so easy to be shaped by the culture rather than to be shaped by the Bible. Last but not least, trust God to deliver us. Think about it. For the sin aspect, I hope and pray that every one of you in this room have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. But if you haven't, you understand that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you owe God death, and you're supposed to be separated from Him forever, but He can deliver you. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. He rose again to conquer death, and He gives a gift to you. It is eternal life as a gift, and He will deliver you from sin and death simply by faith. And I hope and pray if you've never trusted Christ, right where you're sitting right now, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. You can say, Lord, I believe Jesus is my Savior. I'm trusting in Him and Him alone to give me eternal life. I believe He died and rose again for me, and I'm dependent on Him to give me life forever. That's salvation. For us, we can trust God to deliver us from sin's power as we go through the Christian life. In the power of the Holy Spirit, based on the Word of God, we can have victory. May we trust our God who is able to do beyond what we could ask or imagine. May we trust Him regardless of how things might turn out.